This is the My Weight What to Know podcast, where we talk to medical experts about the latest research on weight management and how you can apply it to reaching your best weight. We're talking with exercise physiologist Shauna Cook about the best type of exercise to do for weight management and simple tips for getting more movement in our day. Shauna, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm really looking forward to the talk.
So let's start out by talking about why exercise. Why does it matter so much for good health, and how can it be helpful on the weight management journey as well?
Well, exercise is something I want to say first and foremost. It is not the be-all, end-all to weight management. Exercise is something that overall is good for our health as a whole. My world is cardiovascular disease. So in terms of cardiovascular disease, exercise is something that we do to build our overall heart health, our overall health in terms of our muscles, our systems, and how our functions work. And of course, in terms of our ability, so our mobility, our overall function, our independence. So just as a life in whole, exercise is a great thing to incorporate as part of your healthy lifestyle. In terms of weight management, it's part of a tool. It's a tool used in a bigger, kind of more comprehensive type program. There's a saying out there where you can't outrun a bad diet. And I don't really like that saying per se, but I like the idea of you can't out-exercise poor health. So it's something where we need to kind of keep it in balance with everything that we look at in terms of all the little health things that we can do. Exercise is an important part of it.
Oh man, I love that perspective, especially coming from an exercise physiologist. That's so refreshing to hear. Like, it's really important for good health, but it's not everything. So are all types of exercise equal? Like, does it matter whether we go for a walk or do strength training in terms of the benefits for our health?
Yeah, and I think it really kind of breaks it down to your health goals. So, you know, considering that we're talking a little bit about the weight side of things today, there are exercise principles that relate a little bit more to the weight side of our health journey. And so something that has been really, really well researched in terms of that is strength training. And the reason why strength training is so important is because it helps us build our muscle strength, our muscle, lean muscle mass. And when we build this lean muscle mass, this helps us burn more calories. It helps boost our metabolism. And as we know, as we age, our muscle mass starts to decrease quite rapidly. From the age of 40 on, we lose a lot of that muscle mass. And so by doing strength training helps to keep us kind of at least at bay from more loss and potentially helps to gain that muscle mass. As we're, you know, supporting that lean muscle mass, the more muscle we have, the more calories we burn. You can think of it like muscle as almost the fire in your engine, where the more muscle we have, the bigger, the hotter that flame is going to be. And so when we're thinking of calories, it's going to burn more of these calories for a longer period of time than, say, aerobic exercise. So this is something that someone who goes for a 30-minute walk, they're going to have their metabolism and their body revving for a certain period of time after that 30-minute walk. Whereas someone goes and does 30 minutes of strength training, that body is going to rev a lot longer, even up to 24 hours longer than that 30-minute walk. So by incorporating certain strategies when you're thinking about exercise, specifically as it comes to weight management, such as strength training, the other one is interval training, where we're building, again, more of this muscle power, engaging more of that muscle, those are going to be strategies that are going to be more effective for you than some of the other things that you might be trying to do.
Wow. So you've really explained a lot of good reasons why we all should be doing some strength training, but why is it particularly important for women?
Well, women as a whole, we don't have typically as much muscle mass as our male counterparts. Women also have a lot of hormone changes. So we go through things like menopause, and that menopause itself can start to kind of change how our body functions. And strength training helps to counterbalance some of those menopausal changes. So it's a really great benefit for us overall in terms of osteoporosis, some of the hormonal type things that we may have to deal with in terms of menopause, and as well as overall just maintaining the strength and muscle mass that we have to help keep that metabolism working for us and our muscle function into the future.
So I think a lot of us, when we hear the term, you know, strength training, automatically have an image of lifting very heavy weights at a gym. So debunk that myth for us. What can weight training or strength training look like?
The thing that you see where you've got, you know, the big bulky muscle kind of people there, that takes a lot and a lot of training to get there. It's not going to be that by you picking up the weights now, unless it becomes your main focus, that that's ever going to happen. We're especially looking right now to just maintain at least that level of muscle for you and potentially build a little more of that lean mass that's going to really drive that metabolism. You're not going to get into the big, bulky kind of all the muscle all over, thinking about it in terms of your overall health and function and ability to do things, pick up your grandkids, climb a flight of stairs, be able to pick up your groceries and put them away, go and do things without question, hike, bike, kayak, all the things that you love to do for years beyond. This is why we're strength training. Plus, in terms of the weight management side, we're looking to build that metabolism, the strength training. The more muscle we have, the harder our engine is going to burn. And so we want to build that metabolism as much as we can.
Shauna, if we're wanting to start exercising or beginning an exercise program, how can we do that safely? Like, what precautions should people be thinking about?
Well, specifically for people with potentially some health issues, it's always recommended that you go and talk to your doctor just to make sure that everything's okay. And then once you get the clearance from your doctor, most doctors are going to say, yes, please go exercise. But just to make sure that you don't have any red flags that you need to be aware of, then I suggest going and talking to a professional. Specifically, if you have weight management goals or maybe you have other health concerns, talking to a professional that's going to be able to guide you specifically in terms of what strategies are best for you is what's going to keep you safe. And it's going to make your effort more effective.
So when you and I were chatting earlier, you said that you have so many people coming and saying to you, my doctor says I need to exercise, and I just don't know where to start because I have a lot of physical limitations. If someone watching at home feels that way, what would you say to them?
Well, honestly, first of all, it starts with your brain. It really starts with your brain. And unfortunately, we do get some of the, you know, physicians saying, okay, go and exercise, but we don't really have any sort of template or anything to follow, or I don't know what to do. And so honestly, it can kind of mess a little bit with how you think. It can automatically start you on that path of not feeling very inspired. Your motivation kind of goes into the tank and you feel a little bit of self-doubt and self-criticism, and I'm never going to be able to get there. So honestly, just first of all, starting with your brain, trying to get your brain right is step number one. And then step number two is starting small. So think about small little increments that you can do within your day that's potentially going to start to drive forward a little bit more of this active type lifestyle. So whether that be starting to do little walks around the block, whether that be starting to do some movements within your home. So if you have hip problems, knee problems, balance problems, anything like that. There's movements you can do holding onto a wall with a chair, simple little sitting in your chair and standing up and sitting back down again, standing and doing some calf raises, anything small like that starts to kind of get that ball rolling and gets that confidence in your brain telling you there are things that you can do. And as soon as you feel like there are things I can do, we tend to kind of grab onto those things, and that intensity or the confidence starts to build, and the whole ball starts to get a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger, driving us towards choosing bigger things and activating ourselves a little bit more all the way through the process. So start with your brain, get yourself into thinking about, okay, what are the small things that I can do? This is possible for me. Start really small, small little baby steps of walking around the block, sitting in your chair and standing up 10 times, every commercial when you're watching TV, pumping those feet and doing some calf raises, working on balance and thinking of the things that you can do and build from there.
So it almost sounds like, you know, getting our brain right, starting with our brain, is accepting the idea that even small changes over time can make a big difference.
Yes, absolutely. Small changes over time are really what is building the whole thing. I talk to people about this kind of thought of building a brick wall. So if you think about building a brick wall, when you look at this big wall that you want to build, looking at the whole task can feel really daunting and overwhelming. And it gives you this idea of like, I don't even know where to start. I don't know how long this is going to take me. This feels really overwhelming. And honestly, this thought in itself can really derail anybody from starting in the beginning. But if you think about laying one individual brick, and in each brick, you're laying that with the most intention, most attention as you possibly can, doing it with your very best effort, then one brick at a time, small little steps over time, you've got the brick wall and you didn't even realize you did it. So by focusing down on the little tasks that you can do, that you can focus on right now, is going to help you get there. But I'm focusing here to start with versus the big, overwhelming, daunting task.
So for someone who maybe doesn't have mobility issues, but is just struggling to get a little more active, what are some simple ways to add more physical activity into our day? Like if we have a job where we're sitting all day, and that would be me, what can we do to get some more movement in?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's something, first of all, I want to clarify the difference between physical activity and exercise. So when we're talking about exercise, we're talking about specific, intentional, getting the heart rate up, working ourselves in a comfortable kind of challenge zone is this exercise. And these are the strategies we want to incorporate when we're thinking about weight loss or overall health and function is this specific exercise. Physical activity is more kind of our activities of daily living. Maybe it's, you know, walking around the grocery store. Maybe it's parking a little further away. Maybe it's deciding to take the stairs instead of the elevator in a shopping mall or a hotel or wherever you might go. So these little activities that we do within our day are definitely going to help us overall health-wise. Mentally, it's going to make a major difference because we're automatically putting this kind of self-care thought into ourselves in terms of what can I do to better enhance my overall health. So these little steps that you can do throughout your day, like I mentioned, taking the stairs, elevator instead of the elevator, parking further away, walking the grocery store, you know, going and getting the mail with your on your two legs versus driving to your mailbox, things like that can make a difference. But we really want to focus on how we can incorporate that active exercise, the purposeful exercise, because that's what's going to make the difference overall in terms of our health changes.
I'm actually so glad you clarified the difference there, because I think, you know, I've seen a lot of studies that say, you know, like you can exercise, but if you're sedentary the rest of the day, that's not good either. So I think getting physical activity is important, but also making that's not enough kind of in and of itself. We got to make sure we're getting that purposeful, prolonged period of time exercise also.
Yes, absolutely. And the guidelines talk about moderate intensity exercise. And that's a little piece that often gets dropped in the sense that we're looking for 150 minutes per week minimum. And this is, again, if you're just starting out, maybe 150 minutes per week is not doable for you. You have to set those expectations of what is a doable thing for you to do right now. And any little baby step is going to get you there. But overall, the guidelines talk about this 150 minutes per week of moderate intensity exercise. And so this is a level of exercise that you feel like you're challenging yourself in a comfortable way, but you definitely are pushing the envelope a little bit. You can feel like your breathing's picked up. If I was walking next to you, you could talk to me, but it wouldn't be necessarily a big full paragraph conversation like you and I are having. It would be where I could get out one or two sentences and then need to take a breath. I could feel like my breathing is picking up. I may feel a little warm. I may get a little sweaty. This is this moderate intensity exercise. And when we talk about weight management, specifically strategies in itself, interval training is one of those types of exercise where we're going to push you quite hard for a really short window of time, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, maybe up to a minute. We're going to push you quite hard. So you're really going to be breathing. And then we're going to bring you back out and let you recover for a minute or 2 minutes, and then push you again and bring you back out and let you recover for a minute or 2 minutes. This is one of the strategies that's been shown to be really effective. And again, it's that intensity of exercise that really makes a difference. Gardening, you know, going and walking the dog at a lower, you know, slower pace, all these other activities definitely get you working. I know for myself, I can build up a sweat just vacuuming. Okay. But those activities aren't necessarily at the intensity that we really would want you to be at in order to get the best benefits for it.
Oh, I'm so glad you clarified that. So we've been talking a lot about the benefits of exercise, and for sure there are plenty. But I always hear Dr. Sue Peterson in my head saying that for many people living with obesity, diet and exercise changes alone aren't enough to help to reach a healthier weight. So how do you encourage people to have the right goals and realistic expectations when it comes to exercise?
Yeah, absolutely. Exercise and diet are tools. They're part of a larger component. They're part of a larger picture. They're not the be-all end-all. They are tools that we can use. And so thinking about it, first of all, from the mindset, I like to go back to your brain and this idea of these kind of expectations and what you're setting yourself up for. It's something where we have been inundated for years and years and years to expect the before and after picture, to expect to see massive physiological changes within days, let alone months or even years, right? And it's something where it's going to take time. It is something where we have to understand from a mental aspect that it's a long journey. This is a path where we're changing our overall health and lifestyle for the long term. This is not a quick fix fad. This is not a one-stop shop. This is something that we're looking to do forever, for a long-term type thing.
So let's talk about the link between obesity or excess weight and cardiovascular disease. What is the connection there?
Well, cardiovascular disease as a whole is an inflammatory disease. So we think of it, if you think about it in terms of the inflammation in our body being one of the contributing factors to cardiovascular disease. So whatever we can do to decrease the inflammation is going to help us with our risk. If you think about fat itself, there's said 7 miles of blood vessels to feed 1 pound of fat. So if you think of the fat that you carry and all the blood vessels that are in there to feed that fat, that means your body has to work quite hard in terms of pushing that blood. Your heart has to push that blood through all of those vessels and return it all and filter and all of the things that it needs to do for sustaining that level of fat. If we decrease the fat level in our body, now our system doesn't have to work so hard. And that's just in that one little aspect, of direct aspect of how our weight, our fat weight, can contribute to cardiovascular health. But there's also the indirect aspects. So we have things called risk factors that are contributing to our cardiovascular health, like high blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, our triglycerides. All of these things contribute and add to that inflammation and irritation, contributing to our cardiovascular health. And if we decrease our weight, even by as little as 5 to 10% of our weight, it decreases those risk factors. Our blood pressure comes down, our cholesterol levels get better, our overall sugar management in terms of our blood sugars gets better. So there's the direct impacts as well as the indirect impacts. And so that little bit of weight management can make a really big difference for our overall cardiovascular risk.
Shauna, on the blog for your website, you talk about the difference between weight loss and fat loss. What is the difference and why does it matter?
That's a great question. And it's something I feel is really important to address because it gets lost, I think, in translation when people talk about weight loss. So sometimes when we are thinking of losing weight, what actually ends up happening is we lose some water weight and we also potentially lose our muscle weight. And that's not the type of weight that we want to lose. So when we think about the word diet, and I don't even really like the word diet, but there's these kind of crash diets and fads and things like that, where we're ending up getting a mass amount of weight loss in a very quick period of time. Oftentimes, that's not actually the fat that's being lost. It's water weight and muscle weight. And muscle weight is something we want to maintain specifically because that muscle is going to help burn our engine hotter. It's going to give our metabolism a bit of a rev up, which we want in terms of our fat loss or weight loss. So in terms of the fat loss, if we're really specific with how we go about our weight loss journey, if we're really specific about the strategies that we use, we can incorporate things to help maintain our muscle mass while we're losing the fat specifically. And that's what we're looking to do, right? We're looking to lose that fat specifically while we maintain the muscle to keep that energy burning. And so this is the difference that we have to think about. And sometimes when we look at all the research and the different types of diets and things out there, it doesn't differentiate between the two. We just see that this person lost 40 pounds, but it doesn't tell us, well, how much of that 40 pounds was actual fat loss, how much of it was water and muscle. And again, typically after the diet, we'll see that yo-yo effect. And that's because the water comes right back on and some of that fat will come back on as well. So I think being really particular about that and thinking about your overall health plan, incorporating the strategies that are going to help maintain the muscle mass, such as strength training, such as interval training, is going to help you overall be able to concentrate a little bit more on the fat loss in particular, which is ultimately what we want to do.
So for that person who feels like their situation just isn't serious enough to see an obesity specialist or see someone like you, that they just need to work harder on their own, what should they know? Why do we not have to do this alone?
That's great. Yes, in terms of that, you know, our world here, prevention is the key. We want to prevent. It is much easier to work with you now before something serious happens versus when potentially something happens and we have to kind of do the rehab and step back a little bit. So the more we can do with the prevention side, even if it's something where you think might be way off, I'm not really sure that this is really something for me. As soon as we get you thinking about what I can do now, really starts to impact your overall trajectory in terms of what your life might look like down the line. So prevention is such a great, great thing. Reaching out to professionals, talking about the fact that, you know what, I have these little things in my mind, I have these concerns that I just want to make sure that I'm taking care of now. It's a really great place to start. And honestly, in terms of, you know, from the professional side, I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it when someone comes to me and says, you know what, I've got risk factors, I've got family history, I've got something that I just feel a little bit concerned about. Can you help me now? 100%, hands down. I think that is the absolute best way to go. And it really gives us a lot of time to kind of work with you and figure out the best ways to support you and prevent and before something else happens down the line.
Shauna, any last words, anything we haven't talked about that you want our audience to be aware of or know?
I just want to encourage everyone to really kind of dig deep mentally to begin with. I really think that coming back down to your brain, if you're someone that you stand in the mirror and you just talk negatively to yourself, you say all the things up and down, you look at yourself up and down and you just don't feel good about yourself, that when you slip up, you have, you know, a negative word, or if something kind of the thoughts in your brain, if they tend to be in this negative pattern, start with that. Start there. It is something that we know that our thoughts drive our actions. Our thoughts drive our feelings, our emotions, which then contribute to our actions. Our actions can help us for sure, but it definitely starts with the thoughts. And so whether it be, you know, thinking about meditation, whether it be going and talking to someone, getting a group around you to help support you, really get into thinking about how you think. Think about what are the thoughts that go through my head during the day? Are they mostly negative or are they positive? And are there ways that I can catch myself? If I find I'm getting down in a bit of a tunnel, are there ways that I can catch myself and bring myself back to thinking a little bit more positively? That's really ultimately what's going to drive your actions moving forward and is a great, great place to start. So exercise, nutrition, taking care of yourself, all those things are absolutely wonderful, starting with your thoughts.
Shauna, thank you so much for such an inspiring conversation.
You're very welcome. I'm very happy to have been here.
We will be back to you with a new episode in a few weeks. Until then, please stay safe and take good care. Good night. This podcast episode was sponsored by Novo Nordisk Canada. It was created independently by My Weight What to Know with no influence from Novo Nordisk.